We've got a beautiful message for you here. I tell you what it is. It's a text. And it goes like this. If you'll listen very carefully, you'll have to listen carefully, you know, because we're going to say it, and we're going to say it again. Not all at once, necessarily, but in the course of my talk, you'll suddenly be pounced on, and you'll have to say it. So you'll have to listen very carefully, and this is what the text is. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Do you think you could say that? Let's say the first bit first, shall we? Christ Jesus came into the world. Let's say it again, shall we? Christ Jesus came into the world. Oh, let's back up, let's cheer up, let's say it a bit more brightly. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To save sinners. Now let's put the two together. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Once more. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now you know, I don't really know where you live. You see, I come from Britain, and I live in Scotland. I haven't got a Scots accent, have I? That's because I was born in London. But you know, we live in houses that are really rather solid. Some of them are made of stone. But when I come to Australia, I find lots of houses are made of wood. You see, people live in different sorts of houses. Now, you know, animals and insects, they live in different sorts of houses too. Recently, I got on the plane, and I went about 800 miles on the plane, away up to the north, from Brisbane Airport to Townsville. Anybody been to Townsville? Oh, it's a long way away. Oh, there's some big boy over there who's been, he's been to Townsville. Now, up there, you know, I met a scientist. You know, it's rather interesting. Some people think that scientists don't love the Lord Jesus, but this is one of your really important scientists in Australia. And, you know, he loves the Lord Jesus, and he believes the Bible, too. And we went out for a little walk around his garden. And, oh my, when you go with a scientist around his garden, it's very interesting. And, you know, he took me, and he showed me in a tree, high up in the tree, he showed me a nest of ants. Big nest, like a football. And he said, that's where the queen is. Then he took me away round the garden, and, here and there, he showed me in little bushes, there were ants busy, and he broke open one little nest, and he says, now, they'll be sewing up those leaves together, he said. That's where they keep the eggs. And he said, you know, the queen lays the eggs up in the nest in the tree, and then the workers bring the eggs away down, right down the tree, right along the fence, and they sew up leaves, and they put the eggs in those little places, make these little homes for them, and the babies come out there, and they look after them there. Well, I thought, isn't that amazing? It's marvellous how some people live, isn't it? Marvellous how some insects live. You know, we hardly know about each other, do we? You know, away in the land of Tibet, and high up in the mountains of China, and away beyond the north of India, there are people there, and they live in tents, and they live in log cabins, and they live in big houses sometimes that look just like forts, as if you would have people with guns on the top of the roof, ready to pot you off as you came along the valley. Well, they didn't pot me off, so I'm still here. But mind you, it was a place of some bandits and brigands, and when you saw some of these Tibetans on their horses, and you should see them, great big fellas they were, they'd have a fox fur around their head for a kind of hat, and they'd kill about five or six sheep and sew the skins together and make a great big gown, and they looked nearly twice as big as they really were, and they put a dagger in their belt and perhaps a gun over their shoulder, and they'd come, a band of them, over the top of the hill, and my, when you saw them, you just hoped that they were your friends and not your enemies. And that was the kind of country that I went to tell these people about the Lord Jesus. And you know, I've been and stayed a night or two in a nomad tent. That's a sort of yak's hair or goat's hair tent. And I tell you, to live in these sort of houses, it's very strange. They're not really houses at all, but they're houses to those people. And they live in hardly anything else, at least in the summer months. And you know, you might come riding down one of the valleys in one of your journeys, and you'd come to these people living in a tent. And they would look at you, you know, especially if the men were away, the women would come out, and my, They look funny sort of women to me. You should see, some of them would have 108 plaits down the back of their neck. 108. And of course you say, well, have they got enough hair? Well, you know, they hadn't really. They would just get some hair out of a tail of one of the yak. A yak's a mountain sort of cow or ox or bull. And, you know, they get some of the hair from his tail and they'd weave it into their own. And they perhaps put coloured sort of wool and stuff. And you know, they have these 108 plaits. You say, why do they have so many? Well, you know, in the Bible there are 66 books, aren't there? And in the Buddhist Bible, which doesn't tell about the true God or the Lord Jesus, there's 108 books. And they're so superstitious, they think they'll please the demons and the gods if they have one plait for every book of their Bible. They're so superstitious. And they would come out, and they would have a good look at us. And the dogs would come out. And they would bark and jump up. And you know, they'd never bite the horse. They'd always bite you if they could, the rider. They seemed to know just where to bite. And I'd get out my whip and I'd smash this way and I'd smash that way. Oh my, you'd wonder whether you'd ever get off your horse. Then the women would come out and they'd have a good look at you. And if they thought you weren't dangerous, then they'd tie down the dogs and you'd be allowed to get off your horse. You go into a nomad tent. That's a tent that these people that wander from place to place have. And you know, you go in and they might make you some tea with butter in it. And they'd give you some barley flour and you'd pour a bit of the tea and the flour together and you'd mix it up. And you know, it would look just like putty, a brown sort of putty. And you know, it would almost taste like it too. And you put a bit in your mouth, you go round and round and round and round, you know. Just like you when mum's meat's not just too tender and it's a bit tough and you get a bit of meat in your mouth. Oh, I remember when I was a child, you know, you chew meat this way and chew it that way. And mum said, now eat your meat up. You chew it up, you know. And you can't get it down. Oh, I can't eat this meat and it's awfully difficult. Well, that's like it is a bit with this, what we call Zamba. And well, you know, I don't say that I really ever really liked it. And then it would come time to go to bed. The men might come back. Then, you see, they might have been hunting or trading or looking after the cattle. They'd come back. And you would think, well, when am I going to sleep, you see? And they'd say, well, you sleep there, and then there'd be the fire, and we'll sleep here. And then you want to get undressed and get into bed. And everybody would just sit there and look at you. And you think, well, I can't get undressed. What am I going to do? Well, you just have to keep all your clothes on nearly and get into your sleeping bag and just go to sleep. And you'd be glad you've got your clothes on too because it would be cold at night. And, but then they would bring in the little baby yak, the little calves. They would bring them into the tent, you know. And you say, what, are all those little calves coming in this tent too? Oh, yes. And so you'd have the family, you'd have mum and dad and perhaps two or three children, you might even have. And then you'd have grandma, there'd nearly always be a grandma, you know, in the tent as well. And, mind you, they looked a bit funny, you see, because they didn't have many teeth, you know. They didn't have false teeth or anything like that there. But she would be there. And then you and your friend, perhaps, the preachers, would be on the skins on the other side. And then in they'd bring the little calves. And they'd have little stakes, you see. And they'd tie them round their necks to these little stakes so they wouldn't wander all over you in the night. And, well, you'd wake up in the morning, my, you were one big happy family, weren't you? When you think of it. And, but I tell you something. You know, when you're in those kind of situations, you see, you can talk to the lady of the tent, say, and you can begin to tell her, you know, about a mother long ago who, well, you know, they went on a long journey, she and her husband, and they got into a town late at night, and there wasn't, you see, anywhere to stay. And the man of the inn said, well, you better just go around the back. There'll be some hay in the stable. And you can pack down there if you like. And, well, they went round. And how dear Mary gave birth to the baby Lord Jesus. And the cows were there. And perhaps the little calves. And it was a bit like a nomad tent, you see, really, where the Lord Jesus was born. Except it was a stable. But it was almost the same. And perhaps you could talk to one of the nomad women like that. And, you see, she would understand. And you could tell her that God loved her so much that he sent his son into the world in that way. You see, he came into the world in a way that all the people of the world could understand. And isn't it lovely to think that he came into the world? What was the text? What was the text? Have you forgotten the text? It's about that, isn't it? Let's say it. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's marvelous, isn't it? He came into the world to save sinners. You know, I didn't live in a tent out there all the time. That was just when I was on journeys. But I lived in a little village, and I lived in a log cabin. You think that's rather nice. Well, it would be rather nice if it weren't for the smoke. You see, when you've got a log cabin, you haven't really got a chimney. You've just got a hole in the roof. And you know how you make a log cabin, don't you? I didn't make this one. Somebody made it before I got there, and I paid them the rent. Do you know what I gave them for a rent? I gave them a big bundle of tea. In fact, it was half a bundle of tea. And that was the rent, you see? Because tea is very precious to them. And, you know, I lived in this log cabin. You know how it is, all the logs fit into each other, you know? Not quite like that. I've got my fingers just not quite as it is, but they all fit into each other. And then on top you make a roof of mud and brushwood, and there's a hole. And in the middle of the log cabin, you've got this other little hole on the floor, and that's where you have the fire. That's where you do your cooking. And, well, the trouble is that the smoke goes round and round and round and round, and do you think it will go out that hole? Well, some of it does, but it doesn't seem to want to. It seems to want to get in your eyes. It makes all your books sooty. And if you're not careful at night, it will set the place on fire. Or the clothes, the bed clothes, will get in the fire. You've got to be very, very careful, you know. Well, we built a little extension to the log cabin, and it began to look very nice, and I put some pictures up on the wall. And they were lovely pictures. I tell you, one of the pictures was of a father, and his son had been away for a long, long time. He'd been really very bad, and he'd been very sinful. And you know, he'd come home again. He wanted to turn from his sin and come home to his father. There was a lovely picture, maybe you've seen it, where the father's bending over his boy. What would we call that picture? The prodigal son, yes. And then there was another picture I put up on the wall. I like that picture too. There was a man with a basket and his seed, and he was throwing it this way and that way. And all some of the seed, you know, just got gobbled up by the birds, and some of the seed, it fell on the stony ground. And, oh, but some of the seed fell on the good ground. And there he was sowing his seed, and we would call that picture the sower. Yes, the Lord Jesus told these stories, didn't he? How the Father loves us and wants us to come home to him out of our sin, and how he, the Lord Jesus, sowed the word of God in people's hearts, and some of them didn't receive it, and some did. And then there was a kind of diagram on the wall, too, that I put up. And I tell you what was there. There was a cross, and then there was a whip, and then there was a crown of thorns, and there were some nails. Ah, I wonder what that would be about, eh? That would be about when our Lord Jesus died on the cross of Calvary for our sins. And so here were these pictures, and of course as people came in, oh, they would perhaps look at this picture, and look at that picture, and they would wonder what it was all about. But then they would come in, and when they came in the door, they would see a text on the wall in Tibetan. And, you know, if they could read, and not too many of them could, maybe a boy would come in and he'd be quite proud that he could read, and he would begin to spell out the letters, you know. And do you know what he would read in his own language? He would read our text. Do you remember it? Let's say it again, shall we? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's what he would read. And why would he need to read that? I'll tell you why. Because that Tibetan boy would be a sinner. And why do I need to tell you the text here today, this lovely sunny morning? It's because you're a sinner. Do you know that? Oh, you say, yes, yes, that's what the Sunday school teachers always tell us, that we are sinners. But do you believe that? Do you really believe that you are a sinner? Because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you want to be saved, you've got to realize that you are a sinner, and that Christ Jesus did come to save you. You know, sometimes at school, you get what the teacher calls a test. I loathe tests, don't you? Ooh. You go in and everything's happy, and then the teacher says, now, today we're going to have a test. And you feel like saying, oh, maybe you do. She may say, well, it's no good groaning, you're going to have it. And you get your test paper, or the questions are up on the board. And, oh, you think, I don't know what the answer to this is. And you know, the boy next to you, he's writing away, my question after question. My, he's clever, he knows all the answers. And you think, oh, I don't know. And then before you know where you are, you're just beginning to look over at his paper. Oh, there it is. You write it down on your paper. And what's that?
He's cheating.
And cheating is, you know, S-I-N. What's that? Sin, yes. Cheating. And you know, it's not just boys and girls that cheat. Grown-ups today, oh, they cheat a lot. Cheat a lot in business, you know. They cheat a lot today. Do you know why that is? Because when they were boys and girls, they learned to cheat. And their sinful heart grew up to be a heart full of sin. And so, they never stopped their cheating. Now, you know, sometimes, Mum will say, now, I want you home today, really nice and early, for tea. Your Aunt Jemima's coming. Or something like that, you know. I don't know whether you have Aunt Jemima's here. But you can think of some other funny name. Your Aunt Jemima's coming. And we're all going to have tea at 4:30. So you must be home early from school. Well, you know, you get out of school, beautiful day. Oh, they're great. You forget all about Aunt Jemima. And you start going off with your friends. And you have fun, or you're playing games. And time goes by, and it gets to 4:00, and it gets to 5:00, and it may be about 6:00 or something. You know, you turn up, and your mum says, your Aunt Jemima's here, and we've been waiting for tea. And here you are, and look at you, you're just filthy. Where have you been? What have you been doing? And you say, I haven't been doing anything. Well, that's what we have to call L-I-E. What's that? A lie. And what is a lie? It's S-I-N, sin. And whilst you may think when you're young your lies are just little lies, they grow into very big lies. And grown-ups tell lies. And we hardly know who to believe today because there are so many lies today. Now sometimes at school, you know, one of the boys will come along behind one of you girls and you know, maybe you've got nice long hair, and all they think, I'll pull her hair, and they do, they give such a tuck, and you know, you turn around, and you're so angry, it was really a bit of fun. Of course, boys shouldn't pull girls' hairs, but you know, they've been doing it for hundreds of years, I guess, and they probably will do it for a long time yet, but you know, you can't take it, and you're very angry, and you turn around, and you stamp your foot, and my, you could just give him one, but that wouldn't be very ladylike. You know, before you know where you are, you've lost something. You've lost your temper, yes. And you know, when you lose your temper, that is S-I-N. Well, I don't think I should talk about sin anymore. I might put some ideas into your head. But you know, I have a feeling that those ideas are in your heads and in your hearts even before I talked about them. All I'm trying to say is that, you know, boys and girls, although they look so nice in their, especially on Sundays, and Mum dresses you up Sundays, and you know, but we grow up and we can be very bad people, you know, unless that sin is dealt with. And so here's the wonderful news of the gospel. What did our text say? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now, if you realize that you're a sinner, whether you've done those particular things or other things, and there's all sorts of things that we do, the wonderful thing is, you can say, Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. Isn't that beautiful? I can say, Christ Jesus came into the world to save me. Do you know, one day, my wife and I were sitting on the sofa in the month of August in Scotland. Now, August, we like to think of that as our holiday month. That's still summertime. And do you know what we got in our room? We got a fire, because it was cold. Fancy having to have a fire on when it's your summertime. Well, it was cold, and we were sitting there by the fire on the sofa one Sunday night. Now, our oldest boy, I've got three boys, a bit grown up now, but, you know, my oldest boy, his name is Ross. And at that time, he was 10 and a half. And he'd had a bit of a cold, and he hadn't gone out to Sunday school or at any of the meetings. I think he'd been at home that day. But there we were, sitting on the sofa, and, you know, it was about 10:00 at night. My, all good children are tucked up in bed at 10:00 at night, aren't they? Nobody's saying yes, are they? Well, perhaps they should be. And anyway, we thought he was, when suddenly the door of the lounge room in which we were sitting began to move. Gradually it opened and opened, and we sat and we wondered who was coming in. And then round the crack of the door was a little boy's head. And then A bit more of him came into view, and there he stood in his pajamas. And we wondered what had happened and what he wanted. Do you know, to our amazement and surprise, he said to us, "I want to become a Christian." Well, and you know what? Then he began to cry. I said, "Come along over," and he came over to the sofa. You see, I rather think, lying in bed there, that he had sort of felt in a different way from before that he was one of these sinners that the verse talks about. What does it say? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And you know, he wanted to get rid of his sin. And you know, as we sat there, we began to look at a lovely verse. Oh, you all know it so well. It's John 3:16. And you know, we began to look at that verse. Oh, I think he could recite it off by heart even then. And you know what? As we looked at that verse, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." You know that, don't you? Yes, of course you do. And I think he did. But do you know what I said to him at last? I said this, and listen very carefully to this. I said, "Would you like to put your name in that verse?" You see, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to save me. So you could put your name in that verse. And you know he did. He did. And so we went through it. God so loved wrath that he gave his only begotten Son for wrath, that whosoever believeth, that if wrath believes in him, that wrath shouldn't perish, but that wrath should have everlasting life. And you know, he put his name there, and he got it. God opened his eyes. He gripped it. He saw that Christ Jesus had come into the world to save him. That when the perfect, spotless Lord Jesus died on the cross, the Bible's true when it says Christ died for our sins. He bore the punishment instead. You know, he put his trust in the Lord Jesus. He knelt down and he received the Saviour into his heart. And, you know, he became a Christian and he was so happy. And he didn't cry anymore. And he went back to bed because he was so glad that now he was a Christian. Do you know how old he is today? Oh, he's very old today. Do you know he's 22? That's very old, isn't it? He's 22. But do you know what? Oh, he still loves the Lord Jesus. And he loves to tell boys and girls about the Lord Jesus. And I expect sometimes he'll tell them that story, how when he was 10 and a half, he found out that Christ Jesus came into the world to save him, a sinner. And how simply, yes, as a little child, he put his trust in the Saviour. You see, we don't have to be very old to become Christian. It may be that some of you have become Christians. You are real believers on the Lord Jesus. But it may be that some of you would love to know that your sins are forgiven and that the Lord Jesus lives in your heart. And you know, even this morning, you could ask him to come in. And you could say, "Jesus, I want to put my trust in you. I believe you died for me. I believe you're alive today. Lord, save me. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus." And you know he will. You'll become a Christian. What is a Christian? The Bible tells us very clearly, a Christian is a person into whose heart Christ has come to dwell. Paul writes about it. He says, "Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith." Hard to understand, but wonderful to experience. And simple to enter into through simply receiving the one who loved you so and gave himself for you on Calvary. I don't know where you live today, what sort of house you live in. And we look at the insects and the animals, and they all live in all sorts of houses, don't they? You know, I was on a farm just recently, and there was a little baby Joey, a baby kangaroo. I thought he was so sweet. I'd never been so close to a baby kangaroo, and he just kind of would lick you like a little kitten, you know. And it was so nice. And then the people said, you know, at night, because he was only just out of his mother's pouch, and the mother had been shot by a hunter, and they had this little pet. They said, you know, at night, we put up a kind of sack They didn't give him a basket like you do for a dog. They said, we put out a kind of set, and he just jumps into the set, and that's where he sleeps, you know? You see, even he had a little resting place, a little house, as you might say, of his own. Well, you know, God looks down on you. You know, you're not a baby Joey, but you're the Joeys of your mums and dads, you know? Ah, but isn't it lovely that God wants to be a father to us too? And you know, he wants us to have a place where we can rest. And the Lord Jesus said, I'm going back to heaven to prepare resting places for you, to prepare a place for you to live with me. And so when we trust the Lord Jesus, and we receive him to our hearts, and he makes a home in our heart, you know, we can be sure of this, he's making a home for us in heaven. And one day, by his grace, we shall pop in there, and we shall be where Jesus is. And however hard life may be when you grow up, if you trust Jesus now, all the way through the years, you'll walk through those years with him. And then one day, he'll take you to be with himself. And you'll find that there's a place specially prepared for you there. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to be a Christian now. A wonderful thing to be a Christian then. What did the text say? Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. May it be that as you go out of the door today, you'll be able to say, yes, I believe him. He came into the world to save me. I'm a Christian today. May God bless you.